Hey guys, and welcome back to the Barca Breakdown. I'm Yusuf, and I'm here with my co-host Adam.
Hello, Barca fans. What a yo-yo of a day. Some big pluses and minuses. As always, we want to ask you guys to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Barca Breakdown. You know, comment on our posts, hit us up in those DMs, as well as if you would leave us a review on iTunes and follow us on iTunes and Spotify. That would be great. Huge away goal today, right, in that Champions League game in Italy against Napoli. I hope none of the players got the Rona. Let's hope, you know, the fever tests when they come back home to Barca are going to be okay, even though I did also hear that there are some Rona spreading in Spain, which is a little worrisome. But Griezmann, right, man of the day with the big goal, you know, kind of a tale of two halves, throwback to our old saying. You know, it's funny because this week we had some people on social media who thought we were a little too negative about Griezmann, this previous post on Instagram we made with our last pod, and thought we were maybe a little bit too hot on Braithwaite. You know, overall, I'd say Griezmann showed up today, right? He had a big goal, and that's kind of what we expect from Griezmann more and more often. I think throughout the whole season, we've been very supportive of him and kind of understanding that the offensive, you know, scoring will come as the season goes on, as he gets more warm with Messi. You know, obviously the offense is just worse because we don't have Dembele or Suarez this season, and we've had injuries kind of plague us, so that, you know, we haven't had a consistent stretch of, you know, 15, 18 players healthy, as well as changing coaches is always going to change up a system and cause a lot of learning. So Griezmann's gone through a tumultuous time, and hopefully this goal will help spring him forward.
Sure, totally agree. You know, just to be completely clear, Griezmann is a wonderful defensive work rate, and we just expect for someone who is such a high caliber player, World Cup winner, great La Liga player, that, you know, he comes out and performs a little bit higher. We have high expectation. It is FC Barcelona, right?
Like, true. And I think as we get into, you know, kind of this game, we're still seeing remnants of the big issue that plagued Valverde's time, which was kind of an over-reliance on Messi creating offense, right? The goal today, it seemed like because they were just crowding Messi the whole game, it was that moment when he stepped back, got the ball to Busquets, who slid it into Semedo, who was making a run, where we saw the first goal scored. So, you know, all we're trying to say is that we want to see Griezmann score more goals, and we're wishing for him to succeed, and he hasn't been succeeding offensively as much as we would like, and as much as a player who's put up, you know, in the last four seasons at Atletico, a team that doesn't score a tremendous amount of goals. He put up, I think, like 22 goals twice, and then 18 and 16, something like that. So hopefully this game will be kind of a launching off point. I guess, you know, just getting down into it against Napoli, big away game. Away fixtures have been the fear of Barcelona for the last few years, right? I think even last year we had a 1-1 in the round of 16 that got us a bit worried, even though we came through and beat Man United last round of 16. So what did you think about the starting lineups?
Okay. I'm just going to say one of the biggest things, and the things that you even texted me about, why is Rakitic starting these games?
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah. I think everyone... I was telling you this before we started this recording, but I don't know if you scoured the depths of Twitter and Instagram. I don't know if you could actually find one fan who saw Rakitic on the sheet and thought, "This is what we need today." And it played out that he was pretty bad. And it was when we substituted Arthur in that second half that, you know, we scored a goal within what, 1 to 3 minutes of him coming on.
Sure, I mean, coming from one of the guys that when I started watching Rakitic play on Barcelona, like, I was excited, I was happy, you know, I last World Cup, I put a picture of Rakitic as my background on my phone, and, you know, I was a huge fan, and now even me saying, like, dude, why is Rakitic starting these games is just awful.
He's just not
offensive
quick enough anymore, right? I think that's my main issue, and, like, That's a great point. Even you, as someone who was always a big Rakitic supporter in the last 4 months, you've really, you know, kind of finally, maybe a little bit too late, but you finally switched over and realized he was bad. You know, I was hoping to see Fati Mania continue today, but unfortunately, he was on the bench. I say unfortunately because I think he could. And, you know, when he was subbed in too late, in my opinion, this game, he added something that we didn't have, but we saw Messi, Vidal, Griezmann up front. Then we saw Rakitic, Busquets, and Frankie de Jong in the midfield. And then in the back line, we saw Firpo, Umtiti, PK, and Semedo. So when you saw the lineup, mm-hmm. besides obviously everyone being a little concerned about Rocky, what else did you think?
Well, I thought it was interesting that we had that Vidal up there again. And, you know, it seemed like to me that we were playing more of a 4-4-2. Vidal didn't, I guess that was during the game, but I guess my initial thoughts were that that the midfield still was, I don't know why he decided to go with Rakitic, right? But the midfield seemed to be a little less, I guess, a little less dynamic as I wanted it to be because of Rakitic, one, and then Vidal pushed forward, right? And so it seems like that with Rakitic, Busquets, and FDJ. FDJ's play has been a little bit questionable recently, so I would have liked to see Arthur, FDJ, and Busquets to see more of an offensive forward push this game. And then in the back, you know, I'm happy not to see Roberto actually and have Semedo in there, see what Semedo can do.
True,
on the right
Sergi
side again.
Sergi was injured, so he was not available for this game. He's out
right.
for yeah, 2
true.
To 3 weeks. We just got that news
that
like yesterday.
True.
But
yeah,
I think overall some interesting things are that, you know, it does seem like Umtiti has taken favor over Lenglet in Setien's mind. I do notice a trend of Lenglet starting some big games. I think one big thing we got to take a step back and wonder and, you know, try to internalize is, you know, Messi and PK have both come out in the last month and said that this Barca team is probably not ready to compete for a Champions League. And, you know,
true.
Especially, you know, we scraped away a 1-1 away draw today against a faster team. I think our defense is going to have some big issues. So there is the possibility that some of the choices Setien made today were thinking about the Clasico coming up this Sunday, right, with La Liga being, you know, magically
true.
In our grasp because Real Madrid have looked bad the last 2 weeks and because Hazard just got injured and will be out for, I think, a few months or at least, you know, 6+ weeks. You know, my thought was that, okay, maybe he's given Arthur a rest because Arthur has those notorious fitness issues and, you know, I don't know if Arthur could play, you know, 80 minutes today and then a full 90 at the Clasico. So hopefully we'll see Arthur play and start in the next game. And maybe that was, you know, what Setien was thinking about. I think overall, I am always a little bit upset when I see Griezmann playing as the left on the left side, left wing, which is what we saw today with Vidal occupying more of that right space. You know, this Inter Milan or this Napoli team does have a pretty dynamic offense and good counterattack. I think we saw that exposed when they scored the first goal. So maybe, you know, having Vidal up there on the right side helps kind of cover for Messi defensively and, you know, also provides just overall more defensive cover so that Semedo can push up because that does seem like the trend under Setien that, you know, the right and left backs are pushing up pretty far forward. So we do need to have, you know, some bodies in that space to help prevent any counters.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need against a team like Napoli. We've played them, I think it was preseason we played them, and I think it was 4-0 or something like that. But that was probably, you know, preseason squad, right? We can't take this game light. It's the round of 16. I'm sure Setien decided, you know, I'll play it smart, maybe rest Arthur. But I think Arthur was... Or I think he should be up to speed by now, and I know you were talking about his injuries and whatnot, but I think Arthur's a player that would do great during the Clasico, and it would be good to see him for even 60 minutes in this game, for example, to warm up and get ready for the Clasico.
Do you think that the 30 minutes he got today weren't enough to, you know, keep him warm?
Not necessarily about the warmness, I would say. I'm sure it warmed him up and kind of gave him the feel, but it's a different beast to play 60 minutes versus 30 minutes, right? Because I think you could probably run on 30 minutes with high energy and, you know, you'll warm up, but you won't feel as fatigued. I think it's almost good to have a good 60-minute run because it kind of boosts your endurance and helps you for the subsequent games that are coming up, especially, you know, maybe Madrid might come out with the other Valverde, right? And he can cause some havoc with his speed, and maybe that's something Arthur needs to be more accustomed to so he doesn't get so fatigued.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think I tend to lean more Setien's thinking if this indeed was his tactical choice, which is that, you know, it sucks, and I agree with you that, you know, Arthur at this point in the season, especially since it's been, what, almost a month now since he was injured, mm-hmm. that he should be up to speed. But I think you have to deal with the reality of the situation that, you know, even when he was playing regularly in the last few, you know, last season and a half, he hasn't been able to play 90 minutes after 90 minutes, right? I think the...
Sure, it was a trend.
Yeah, the whole story during that first season under Valverde was that we would sub him out, right? He almost played no 90-minute mm-hmm. games. It was definitely something we talked about in the pod. So, though I agree with you that he should be up to speed by now, unfortunately, you kind of have to deal with the hand that you're dealt, and I don't know if Arthur, at this point in his career, is ready. But that, I think, is kind of a whole topic for another hand. I think getting into the game, it was a little bit of a tale of two halves, as I always like to say, right? I think the first half, we were a little bit stagnant. We let them set up their defense a lot, and... you know, one trend that did continue through both halves was that we had a lot more pressing than we normally do. It was nice to see the players kind of out there constantly trying to get the ball. I feel like part of the reason Setien chose the starting 11 he chose was so that, you know, we would be able to keep up energy and as well as, you know, prevent Napoli from hitting us on the counters. You know, obviously the first goal was a... It was really a flashback. Yeah, it was really a flashback to Frippo's first ever start. I don't know if you guys remember. Uh-huh. You probably do if you're listening to this podcast, but he had that infamous slip that led to a goal that was... it's become iconic because we've seen him do it now. I think this is the third time. What were you thinking when you saw that first goal, right? Because Frippo slips, they hit on the counter, and then I think Martins just placed a beautiful little hook
He had so much time.
True. I mean, the defense was definitely shifted, and Semedo possibly could have covered him better, but it was also a beautiful shot, and it started off with that Frippo kind of slip and the misjudgment of that first touch.
So my initial thought was, okay, Firpo's the only one there, right? And this guy's wide open to make the pass. I was already feeling nervous at that point. When I saw the pass go to Martins and he was just wide open, nobody covering him, nobody could cause any, you know, covering the goal, nothing. It just seemed like he had all the time in the world. If I had that much time, maybe I could have made the shot, right? Like, it was ridiculous in my head, and I knew he was going to score, and I thought, you know, oh, poor Stegen, he's so helpless. And like you're saying, what a beautiful shot, couldn't have been placed better. One thing I do want to say was I saw Semedo, I think, in PK when the ball was going past them. They both put their hands behind their back, as one should. And the one thing I hate is sometimes when the ball gets kicked, you know, and of course, I don't want to get kicked in the face with a soccer ball, especially with a professional player's power behind it. But sometimes I wish they, instead of, you know, shifting away from it, they would, you know, put their bodies in it, because I feel like they could cause even a deflection to take the ball off its original path. It seemed like they were shying away from it a little bit, and of course, any moment you're the third person's perspective. I wish something was different. Of course, I wish the ball didn't go in or whatever it was. But maybe if some of these players threw themselves in front of the ball a little bit more, you know, take the chance instead of, you know, taking the chances off the ball when you know, they're getting yellow cards or something. But overall, you know, spectacular goal from Martins, and I was very saddened and you know, shocked at the same time.
Sure. I mean, I think that overall, in the first half, as well as the whole game, we definitely dominated possession. I think we had, like, somewhere around two-thirds of possession for the whole game. You know, before that goal, I really felt like somewhat confident and secure. I mean, it's not like we were, you know, being world beaters or we were breaking down their defense. Overall, Napoli really did what I would call park the bus, and, you know, were looking to try and hit us on the counter. But they just, you know, they stuck a lot of men back there. There was the reports before the game in the last few days that the coach of Napoli was intending to, you know, lock Messi in a cage. That was the phrase that was used. And, you know, right from the get-go, you could tell that there were mm-hmm. always about three players around Messi. But, you know, even when we had all the possession, one thing that's, you know, a little bit frustrating is we didn't have that many shots on goal. I think we finished the game with two. So, you know, one room for improvement definitely is we need to shoot the ball more, right? Like, even though there were some times Arthur took a shot I thought was pretty bad and he kind of skied it.
I remember that, yeah.
I do want to see more players put the ball in goal. And like I alluded to, you know, at the beginning of this podcast, it did seem a little bit like Messi ball, and that everyone was kind of waiting for Messi to get the ball. I was happy to see, though, once the second half began, that there were some adjustments made. I think we took our pressing up a notch, and we also tried to exploit the left side. So, you know, even though Firpo was very bad defensively in that first half, I thought in the second half, at least he looked a little more tuned in and locked in and ready to, you know, try and create some offense. You know, one player who I didn't think had a great game definitely was Frankie. I thought, you know, the last few weeks in general, I feel like Frankie's felt out of place. He had an interview this week where he was talking about how, you know, the role that he played at Ajax and in the Dutch national team doesn't really exist, right? He's used to playing as a double pivot and kind of, you know, being back there and guiding the offense forward, whereas Barca are looking to use him more offensively. And there were some moments, especially there was one counterattack where Frankie was running with the ball, and it just didn't seem like he had the decision making or didn't have the, you know, the right pass at the right time to try and create some havoc. So I do hope that Setien can figure out a way to kind of improve that aspect of his game. I think some of the comments some of the fans might have are that, you know, we're trying to fit a round peg into a square hole. So, you know, if you think that Frankie is the guy who needs to be playing as a pivot, kind of in that central defensive mid position, that central defensive mid position that Busquets occupies, we're going to get to see that, right, in the home game against Napoli, because Busquets got a second got one yellow today, which means that he's suspended for next game. You know, even though we did get that away goal, that's huge. This game did feel a little bit like it cost us maybe too much for this just that one goal, in terms of Vidal got that red, right? So he's out. Busquets is out for the next game. And then, you know, 5 days before the Clásico, we saw Piqué go down. And even though Umtiti is kind of rising, and, you know, Lenglet has been a consistent player for Barca for the last year and a half, I am a little bit worried if we have to run into the Clásico and then any games after that without Piqué.
Yeah, you know, he's a solid center back for us. And
more than solid, I would say. Quintessential, really.
Yeah, true. And it's hard for us to think anybody could take his place, you know, and especially considering that when we play Lenglet and Umtiti, they seem to fill the same spot normally.
True.
So playing them
on
both at the same time
right,
is... Yeah.
It might make some
So
issues.
Playing them both at the same time is a little awkward. We've seen it maybe twice before. It didn't look too hot at the time that I saw it. I think it was actually one of the preseason games. But... Yeah, I hope Piqué's not injured, because right, we take Busquets out, we take Vidal out, then we take Piqué out. This is even worse than what we had before with all the injuries, right? This is worse than a skeleton crew. It's like a skeleton missing its femur or something.
True, and
too many things.
What's funny is
missing.
That Busquets after the game, I feel like threw some shade at the board. You know, I think, you know, we talked about this last pod, but one thing we don't always go too much into is like being super. We don't provide a lot of commentary on the board and all the bad decisions that a lot of the fans think they've made, just because it's a lot of reporting out there. But, you know, one of the areas where we can definitely say the board has prepared us horribly is with, you know, creating depth for the squad, right? I mean, sure, you can't expect Suarez and Dembele to be out, and you can't expect Sergio Roberto and Alba to get hurt, but we really have no depth right now. We're a team with, I think we might only have like 14 players healthy who would, you know, somewhat traditionally be in our starting 11. And Busquets, after the game, said, yeah, we don't have anyone, but that's the way it was planned. Basically, it seemed like he was throwing some shade at the board. So it's going to be a tough few weeks. I mean, you know, I left this game overall pretty, I would say, decently happy. I mean, the away goal is huge. I think we take him back to the Camp Nou, we'll you know, perform well in front of our home fans. And, you know, one thing I've noticed under Setien that I really enjoy is the team seems to have a lot of fight. You know, we think about that Atletico Supercopa game where, you know, Valverde got fired. It seemed like the team only had a light once they got scored on in, like, the 80th minute, whereas this game, it seemed like right after half, the team was energized, and then, you know, the big substitution of Arthur for Rakitic seemed to change the game. I mean, within 2 minutes, we had that beautiful goal. Like I said before, Messi kind of, you know, for the first time that I really noticed, you know, stepped back more into the midfield, which he normally does, and then that kind of created some defenders to draw away, and he passed it to Busquets, who found Semedo making a great run on that right side, and then he slotted it to Griezmann, who was able to, with one touch, score. I think a few times in the past you've spoken about Griezmann not taking that first touch shot that you want to see, and he did it here and scored, and so that was a huge moment. And then, you know, even after the first goal, I felt like we were – really going to score another goal up until Vidal got that red card.
Yeah, but that was late, right? That was like in the 89th minute or so. But yeah, I mean, we were ramping up some energy, and I to comment about the energy, and especially under Setien. So this is the Champions League game that we've had. You know, it's been a while since we've played one of these games for everyone, obviously. But it seemed like, for example, Messi was really trying to score today. You know, it seemed like he really understood the importance of today's game and how if we lost 1-0 and went back to the Camp Nou, you know, that's not, especially with the skeleton crew that we're working with, it's not the best of odds. I think he just wanted to make or secure a goal this game to kind of boost the team's confidence. Even though we had Griezmann score, I was happy that it seemed like the energy of the whole team knew the importance of the game, right? It's one thing to, you know, they come out and they talk about, oh, this is important, we need to do well, or our form isn't great, we need to improve, right? Those comments are one thing, but when they show it on the pitch is what's important. And today I think I saw that. Again, we've talked about everything and how the day went. We scored one goal away, which is fantastic. We still have improvements to make. But overall, I am happy the fact of how we looked and how things resulted. But I would just say that I hope that this kind of energy going back to the Camp Nou is only that much stronger, because right at home, obviously, it should be better. And in reality, all we have to do is prevent them from scoring, right? Our defense just has to be good.
True. I mean, if we don't allow a goal, that, I mean, obviously, if it ends 0-0, yeah, we win. So that will be the goal. But I think Setien overall wants to see this team play more offensively. I think we just have to stop them from scoring is kind of that Valverde mentality that a lot of us hated. And so we need to be
and
more
I don't
proactive
see that.
And score a goal and, mm-hmm. and, you know, take the victory. I thought it was interesting that Busquets won man of the match today, because even though he had that great assist, I guess the secondary assist to Semedo, I thought he made a few passes in that second half that put our defense really at risk and almost allowed a goal. But on the other side, you know, we've talked a little bit about the players who we didn't think played that well. You know, we got to shout out Griezmann for that one-touch shot, scoring a huge goal for us. Hopefully that will catapult him. You know, we didn't talk about him because he's always kind of the silent savior who we sometimes underplay. But Ter Stegen was wonderful. He made two huge saves that prevented goals, like when he was one-on-one with a Napoli defender. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, we couldn't really ask for more. I also thought Umtiti looked really good, man. You know, I think we all just have been kind of dumbfounded since the World Cup, since he, you know, allegedly tested his knee more than he should have because he was going for that World Cup. It does finally seem like he's healthy. It does finally seem like he's getting that game rhythm. He's getting his speed back up. So it's really encouraging to see him play so well. I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about this, but, you know, 3 years ago before the World Cup, I would have said, oh, he'll be a Barca captain for sure. Oh, he'll be, you know, someone who plays here until he's 30 plus years old. There were some dark times there the last 2 years, you know, where I didn't really think that I could see the horizon for him to come up. I thought that, you know, oh, maybe we can sell him off to Man U to make a pretty penny to, you know, fund us getting some more youthful attackers or more youth and speed in the midfield. But I'm really glad to see him perform well. And then I think, you know, the third player who I'd also want to shout out is Semedo. It seems like under Setien, he's really seeing more use. Originally, it was because we were playing that three at the back that, you know, his speed and defense really helped compared to Roberto. But, you know, now that Sergi's mm-hmm. out, and even when Sergi was still healthy, it does seem like for that right back position, Semedo is Setien's choice. And it's good to see him provide a huge assist in a Champions League game, right? I mean, you know, we got to face the honest truth and the facts that, you know, we're a dwindled squad. We don't have our two best offensive players. And so, you know, having Semedo provide some sparks on that wing is going to be really huge for us as the season goes on and as we want a challenge for La Liga and, you know, kind of a pipe dream, but challenge for the Champions League as well.
Sure. And that is a pipe dream. That's a very large pipe dream. Even the team itself is unprepared for such a high-standing outlook. But let's get into, you know, our expectations for the Clásico coming up, right? This big game, our points are nearly the same. We're barely past them with their loss against Levante. So, what do you think is going to happen? Predictions.
Well, I think that, you know, they're going to come out strong really early. I think we're going to have to withstand a big attack in the first 20 minutes. It's kind of an interesting situation where Hazard is out, and a lot of Madrid fans I've, you know, heard from have said that basically they thought they were playing better without Hazard because they were able to have, like, a more defensive, rigid team, and we're overall, like, just more of a solid team without him. So, you know, even though obviously you don't want your big summer signing to be injured, I am worried that, you know, just him being out is not going to cause them to be toothless and cause them to, you know, kind of roll over.
Sure.
At the same time, Barca, in the last few years, man, we always show up big at the Bernabeu. I mean, you know, there's so many big victories we can think of. And overall, I think the squad's going to come out, have to, you know, kind of bear that initial pressure we're going to face from them and from the fans and from the environment. I am a little bit nervous because I don't believe Jordi Alba will be back, and I think Firpo is a huge liability. you know, mm-hmm. The last Clásico, obviously, we weren't able to scoop away with a win. So, you know, this is a good team. Even though they've slipped in the last few weeks we've been able to take it back, I am worried that they're going to do well. And so I think I'm going to predict that the score is going to be a 2-2 draw, which is a good, you know, good result for us going away to the second team in the league. Obviously, it's Real Madrid, you know, one of the biggest teams in the world. But I do think we'll squeak out of there with a 2-2 draw.
That's I think that's rough. You know, honestly, not to say I don't think we're going to score two, but I also think that them scoring two, and our defense has had its issues in the past, but they are also the second best La Liga team currently, and they were the first best not too long ago. I just think laying up two goals is just going to be terrible. I really hope that we don't do that. I hope our defense is able to stop some of these, you know, fast players on Real Madrid and keep the pressure off of them. But, you know, I'm always worried about the defense. So I think I'm going to agree with you that I'm going to have them at least score one. But I think I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I know last Clásico, it was a 0-0 draw. That game was not the ideal game. And it was also under Valverde, right? So this is also going to be Setien's first Clásico. So I'm going to go with a 1-1, right? Because I think that he's not going to be totally prepared. And hopefully he starts a different lineup than today's game. I don't hope to see Rakitic starting today. Starting that game. But, you know, maybe we'll see Fati starting this game instead of Vidal being kind of in that Fati space.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you guys have a good week leading up to the Clásico. I know we're all very excited.
See you next week.
Peace.